I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we meet, work and study, the Awabakal and Worimi peoples. I extend that to the land on which our listeners meet. I pay respect to elders past, present and emerging. Thank you to our sponsors, Espresso Warriors Katara and Dark Stories Newcastle, a true crime tour company where you can experience live and interactive crime theatre. Use the code DARKCCJS25 for a special discount. The CCJS would like to invite you to come along to our Careers Day Expo, held on July 29th at 10 a.m. at the Newcastle Uni Callaghan campus. This is an opportunity for students to meet potential employers in the fields of criminology, psychology and law, and for employers to advertise their business and any graduate programs or positions they may run. Check out our socials for more information. Welcome back to the UON Crim Podcast, Episode 5. I am your host, Jessica Horn. In today's episode, I talk with Chris Bray, Director and Founder of Trauma Cleaning Services Australia. Yep, you heard it right, trauma cleaning. For a brief overview, trauma cleaning or crime scene cleanup is a term applied to the cleanup of blood, bodily fluids and other potentially infectious materials. It is also referred to as biohazard remediation and forensic cleanup, as crime scenes are only a portion of the situations in which biohazard cleaning is needed. So without further ado, let's get into it. Hi Chris, how are you?
I'm good, Jess, how are you?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. So we'll just jump straight into it. So yes. What is a trauma cleaner and what kind of training do you need to become one? Take us through a day in the life.
But basically, firstly, thank you for having me. It's really appreciated to be on the podcast.
No problem.
So as far as a trauma cleaning goes, we train in the company, training organisation in Melbourne called TESA Directive. So they actually work in conjunction with the US as well. So during COVID, obviously, we couldn't physically go there to do the training, so it was all done via Zoom meetings. Mm-hmm. So it's the IICRC, and it's in Crime Scene and Trauma Cleaning Technician. So basically, what that involves is understanding things like microbial remediation, biological remediation. So they talk about things like bloodborne pathogens and basically just take you through the process of bodies decomposing and obviously gases and things like that and what's involved and getting an understanding of that, I guess. So it's a fantastic course. Like, it was amazing, a huge eye-opener. The main reason I got it, or upskilled basically, as I mentioned, down here southeast of Melbourne, we do actually contract to Victoria Police. So I've had my mobile car detailing service, and we started sort of July 2019, just before COVID. Obviously, it was a pretty tough time for a lot of people.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Basically decided to take the business on as full-time capacity, and since then we've grown to the point where I basically started to think, you know, how can we expand, how can we stand out? A lot of people do it in our area. And reached out to the contact in Victoria Police through the Eastern Region business section. And from there, we basically put an expression of interest in to do basic vehicle washing. And from there, we've had the contract for 12 months. We've just had it renewed. We just won the contract back again.
Amazing.
Which is fantastic news. Yeah. Since then, I did express my interest in trauma cleaning. Hence why I've done the course to upskill.
Yeah.
They don't specify you have to have training, but to have some experience is obviously good. It just helps. It adds to my portfolio as a personal achievement, obviously. And yeah, we put in a contract for that as well. We've won that, so you've got two separate contracts. That's fantastic.
Oh,
so basically
great.
It's a 24-hour call-out service. And yeah, they just call us up basically when it's bodily fluids and cleanups and things. Unfortunately, that happens when people get arrested and detained and in
yep.
their duty vans pretty much. So they call us out. So that's what we do. That's sort of the long and the short of it, I guess.
Yep.
Obviously, I run two separate businesses. So we have deluxe detailing services and also Trauma Cleaning Services Australia, or TCSA.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had that business started just last year, so it's still quite new, but we've had obviously work experience since then, and sort of just jumped pretty much straight in the deep end. And that's sort of where we're going, really, just in that direction. So which is really good, it's going really well. And then life works on a weekly basis with Victoria Police doing their vehicles, and that's set up through our contracts, and then basically it's our people privately reach out to us to do trauma cleaning. Obviously families and family friends, they reach out when they need our services. It's not something that's obviously, it's never nice to deal with something like that. Not a lot of people know the process. They're still dealing with it. Most clients we have are obviously still going through that trauma process themselves. So it's usually within a few days, a few weeks perhaps, where something's happened or a family member's passed, natural causes, if it's suicide, what have you. And they seek our services. And we basically have a conversation, run through what we do, the procedure, what have you, the costing, things like that. And then we just go to jog as much information and photos and things for just personal use for training purposes. Obviously, we can't really post things. It's a bit different to like the US, where it's a very common thing and people like that. But obviously, we show compassion and respect, keep it private, try and be as professional as we can be, basically. That's sort of the basic process.
Yeah. Yeah, awesome. So you talk about the reason you got into this profession as you wanted to upskill and sort of, get out of, or improve, I guess, from COVID, the COVID situation. How have you found that and all the training and the course and everything?
Yeah, it's a lot, obviously. I'm married, got two kids under five, and mortgage to pay.
All going on.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's like pretty much every family at the moment that's going through the motions. It is difficult. Being self-employed, starting a business a matter of months before COVID, heading into winter, pretty crazy time. None of us could really foresee what was going to happen. It was difficult. It was tough. Starting off trying to build a business, grow that reputation, get the client base was pretty tough. From there, trying to feel, I guess the main thing for me is looking at, instead of just being like everybody else, offer things that other people don't offer, being a mobile service, offering trauma cleaning, additional services, pricing, reputation, trying to stand out as best as we can from everyone else. And just doing a lot of research and looking at people and thinking, why am I different? What separates me? Why should this client, or sort of put myself in the customer's shoes and saying, why should I pick this business over this business? What has he got that this other person hasn't got? Things like that, being mobile for us, a mobile service in general, regardless of what we do, is a huge advantage for us. It's a really big thing. So we sort of have gone well with that, I think. So we've had, 3 years we've had the business now, 3 years this year, and we've just gone from strength to strength, having local community support, keeping the business local. We've got, I think, about just like 2,500 likes on our page now.
Yeah, awesome.
Nearly about 100 five-star reviews. Like, things to me like that is a huge thing. Building that consistency, consistently being good and providing that service. We're at a point now where we have our regular clients who are being given more options. We're getting people contacting us, word of mouth, things like that. I guess the trauma clinic is just sort of a new avenue that I'm trying to sort of tap into. It's very hard to do that privately. Getting a government contract for a company that's been running for less than 3 years, to me, is just probably single-handed as one of the biggest achievements.
Yeah.
Aside from, buying a house, getting married, doing all those things. And
it's amazing.
Some people don't even achieve one of those things. It's just a lot. It's not, it's a lot to take on. A lot of people think I'm mad for doing it, but...
No, it's great.
I love what I do. It's a good job. It's not an easy job. Obviously, that has its challenges.
What would you say is the hardest part?
The hardest part about the job. So, I guess you need to not take it personal. Obviously, it's there's someone or something that's happened, and you need to go into the job basically with a clear mind and not sort of just be emotionally detached from that. I've served in the CFA for a few years and seen sort of, you know, a small glimpse into what it's like in the emergency services, and it's not pretty, it's not nice. It's, again, it's a job, it's a service provided. I guess it's, yeah, trying not to make it personal, getting upset about friends and family, loved ones. You know, I've got two kids that I have to come home to, and obviously I need to process that in my own way. I guess like one of the questions here about decompressing after a confronting day at work.
Yeah.
For me, I usually just discuss that with my wife.
Yeah, talk it out.
Talk to, not to everyone, like some people want to hear about that stuff. I have friends that are interested, and obviously I, you know, with privacy and things, I can only say so much, but just general summaries of what I've been through.
But
I guess that's probably the hardest part. It's just that detachment, it's that separation of, you're just there to do a job, you're there to provide a service, be professional.
Yeah.
My clients are happy, it's always good feedback. I look at it as if you've got grieving like friends and family members, and you're there to not just to provide a service, not just to get paid, but you're there to give closure, to give them some answers and help. I guess I call it the healing process. It makes it easier for them, and they can sort of go to the property or go on to the site where these things have occurred. And, it helps them move on a little bit, and I can be part of that, so I'm happy for that. That fact for them, it really helps.
So
I guess that's the best sort of way I deal with it, the best part of the job, I guess. It's very direct, it's very, you know, you call the service, it's going to be 99.99% of the time it's going to be bad.
Yeah.
So I guess that's the best part, is looking at it, helping people.
Yeah.
Giving people pleasure, help them move on, basically, yeah.
Yeah, and I guess if it's a family's house or a property, it's that...
Yeah.
That restoration, bringing it back to what it was before, I find that probably the most, outside looking in, that's probably the best part, I would say.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. I sort of a couple of questions here. You said, as far as like cleaning products and equipment, so we do use hospital grade or approved products. So that could be things like general purpose cleaning. You can use things like your household Windex. We use like a citrus based cleaning product. So you don't. It's nothing scientific about it. It's nothing you use in a laboratory or something like that. It's
nothing hardcore.
No, pretty much off the shelf. There are suppliers out there that specialize in these sort of things. So we just use a hospital grade disinfectant, other than a spray bottle. We treat the area, clean it. Any physical clothing and personal belongings, things that are damaged that can't be restored or salvaged, we dispose of through like a third party company. They basically incinerate biological waste and material. They get bagged up into biohazard bags and put into biohazard containers, and then they get sent off, basically, and professionally incinerated.
It's a
pretty straightforward process. We have to obviously section off the area so people can't come in, or keep it locked or what have you, or just liaise with the client and say, look, this is how it is, caution tape. Most people, the better part, are going to not get involved with that sort of thing, and most people are aware as well. If it's a residential property, people, you know, are going to see what's happening. They've got, you know, the crime scene services and the police and what have you attending. And we just, steam cleaning, bleach, mops, pretty basic stuff, really. Most of it can be pretty much household. Some stuff's possible grade. As far as like PPE and equipment, crime thing, like the suits that you see in the movies or in the TV shows, you don't just turn up in a nice compressed suit on, and it's not quite like that with a, you know, a coffee in my hand and a phone. Not quite that with what they have in the movies.
Yeah.
Use a triple filter respirator, so basically it filters out sort of natural or any sort of carcinogenic chemicals, organic materials, smells, and it obviously does the job. You can't smell anything. You basically gear up, make sure it's all clean and decontaminated, put that on your disposable suit, as far as gloves go, we do use hospital or surgical grade gloves, some of the thick or natural gloves, and basically the power on the double glove, and then we actually just tape around our wrists to the disposable suit, so we peel your stuff from the top, basically peel, take your hood off, peel your suit off, and your slippers, your shoe covers, and that first layer of gloves, you end up with the second layer of gloves, and then you take your respirator off, so it's all a one process, and then obviously decontaminate yourself, clean your equipment, wash your clothes, showers, sort of like top to bottom sort of process, so everything's separate from what we use. Yeah. So we do have our vehicle that's obviously depends on site and is kitted out to have all that equipment, basically. And then...
So with some of the bodily fluids and, you know, blood and stuff like that, does that require a bit more sort of that hospital grade things?
It depends where, what you're dealing with. You know, I've attended to some scenes where you've had somebody take their own life and it might be in a shower, it's in one location, so it's an easy process, it's contained, it hasn't been spread, you know, the property or other items haven't been contaminated. That's not always the case. You could have somebody who's taken a life, but who is still alive, basically, and they can still be moving, they can be touching things. There is, not going to go into too much detail, no. Jobs of bad people commit suicide, basically, and it hasn't been as quick as they expected, but that way, so they've got up and walked around, there's footprints and things, and touch things, and switches, and bodily fluids from, you know, from one end to the other, and so that makes it more difficult. Things then is cross-contamination, and you've got to basically isolate that, and do your remediation process and cleaning. So if it's more of a focused area, you use more hospital grade cleaning, bleach, hot water, scrubbing. If it's in a shower or a bathtub, we would train that you could basically, most of that's organic, so you can just go down the drain, hot water, you can do that. It's only things like clothing, personal items, if there's hair or teeth that have to get removed, things that are contaminated to get double bagged and then put into disposable containers for incineration. So it just depends what you've got. The situation is, if somebody, we've attended a scene where an individual passed away from natural causes in their armchair. So obviously the body sat there, and then everything goes through the process and is licked through. You have to cut the carpet out, the underlay, if it seeps to the flooring, which it didn't in some cases, which is better for us. Otherwise, you've got structural contamination, and then you're talking about moving floorboards and other flooring and subflooring, and that can get a little bit tricky. A
bit more complicated.
Luckily we haven't come across that, which is obviously good for us, easier, less stress and cost for the client as well. It just depends on what's happened, where it is, what's happened, sort of thing.
And what would you say? What would you say is the worst scene you've had to clean, and also the worst smell that you've encountered?
Definitely, we had one, an individual that committed suicide in a caravan park. So it was in a static trailer, and they'd been in there for about 3 weeks.
Wow.
The doors and windows were shut, the heater had been put on. We were notified through a company a mental health, like a pathways practitioner. So this particular individual was basically a client there seeking help for personal issues and what have you, medication, things like this. Not someone that was very overly popular, so very isolated, very quiet, close. Not many people really knew them, didn't have any immediate friends and family around. The sort of person that if you went missing, you wouldn't really notice. It's quite sad. You know, you get a lot from walking into these scenes, and you're looking at this person and their life. You can tell a lot by, this particular individual is obviously on medication things, so it's very, very sad. That was one of the worst. There was a suicide in the shower, so it was pleasant. Cross-contamination, wasn't a successful, a quick process, a very slow, very, very painful process for the individual, which obviously would have been very unpleasant, stressful for those people involved.
Mm-hmm.
So basically went there, that took about between 5, maybe 5, 6 hours to do.
Wow.
Because it's a smaller area, it was mm-hmm. somewhat compact compared to like a house or something.
Yeah.
So we basically went in there and took what was left. You know, there was obviously a knife to remove. We had to remove like bits of jawbone fillings and things were sitting in the shower and things because it'd been so long and it was just completely decomposed. There wasn't much left. So obviously yeah. the police had attended, they had taken what they could. And then because it's not in that situation, it's not technically a crime,
mm-hmm.
so they just do what they need to do their paperwork, process everything, and then yeah. get a third party in, myself or someone else, and just clean up basically. It's a pretty straightforward process, but yeah, about 5 or 6 hours to get that done. And it's yeah, the smell isn't particularly nice because of a respirator, it does the job. And once you sort of before and after your clothes, your normal clothes and things, it's a very particular smell. It's something that I find in my experience might linger for a few days. I go home, wash everything, isolate everything, clean and disinfect all my equipment, my vehicle, what have you.
Yep.
I'm showering, scrubbing everything, and I sort of sit there, and it usually takes a couple of days, 2 or 3 days to sort of, I guess, process that a little bit.
Yep.
Talk to my wife, talk to friends about it, just deal with it in my own way, just have an emotional attachment, basically. Mm-hmm. And obviously liaise with the clients. This particular client had family members that were aware of the situation. There's the bag of personal belongings and things, you put everything in bags, and yeah. separate it, sort of packing the last 9 bits of, I guess, someone's life. For not knowing a stranger, like a complete stranger, you can tell so much about someone, how they live their life.
Yeah, for sure.
And it gives you a unique perspective, I guess, on how they live their life, whether they're happy, whether they're unhappy, do they have friends, do people care about them? If they were there for 3 weeks, you know, why didn't no one notice
that yeah.
you go missing sooner? And yeah, all these sort of questions sort of run through your head, and you're trying to sort of solve it yourself. Fill the blanks, I guess.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's not an easy job. It's a tough job. It definitely takes a certain breed to do it. You know, to study, think about it, talk about it, compared to doing it it's very different because you don't really know what you're going into sometimes. I try and get as much information from the client as I can before going into a situation like that. But for the better part, just do what we need to do, talk to the client, the feedback's always good,
yep.
get that closure, I guess,
yeah,
and just move on to the next one,
yeah,
basically.
And would you say that one, so around 5 to 6 hours, was the longest cleanup that you've done?
Yeah, like I mentioned before, it depends where it is. If it's in a two-story house or something, or it's the large single-story house, you've got an altercation or there's traumas being incurred or the violence or something, you know, there's different rooms where particular individuals have gone or what have you, then
mm-hmm.
You know, it could be could take longer.
Yeah.
You know, we do things like COVID cleaning as well, so that's classed as trauma related cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
That took us about 12 hours to do.
Wow.
So that was in an IT office building.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a 2-story, like a factory. So that, yeah, took about 12 hours. That was a long day.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, it took a while. Everything had to be cleaned top to bottom, every switch, every button, just like everything. So.
Wow. You would have got a lot of work from that, though, COVID cleaning.
surprisingly not. It was before I had started doing trauma cleaning. So I only started sort of late last year.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously they had certain government incentives and funding
in
small business. That I generate about under $3 million, got an 8% rebate. So
mm-hmm.
cleaning companies or trauma cleaning, self-cleaning trauma cleaning companies could charge in excess of about $10,000 for a day's work.
Wow.
So unfortunately, I didn't jump on that quick enough. I think a lot of people probably took advantage of that a little bit, so they sort of kept it then Andrews government.
Yeah.
Obviously, it would be good, but yeah, just at the time, everyone was just, you know, all this, you know, Glen 20 kills COVID and this cleans COVID, and all of a sudden, everyone was COVID trained. Everyone knew everything about COVID. And I was focusing on just growing my business and with the car cleaning, and then got more into the crime scene cleaning and the trauma cleaning. But I still had good hands on experience, but now with COVID, everyone's. It's like before, everyone's used to it. We've all had COVID. I've had it recently, my wife, my kids. It's not really, people are so scared of it. Now it's just like, yeah, it's like, whatever. It's
part of life.
Daily occurrence, basically.
And and back to sort of the contracting out to police. Can you tell me a little bit more about what that involves? Is it car crashes? Is it, assaults? Or do you get those? Have you been to the murders or serious assaults? Yeah, what sort of is involved in that?
Different contracts, different suppliers available throughout Victoria. So obviously being regional, Melbourne South East, there's different contracts. So there's contracts for the car washing. There's different sections. There's about five different divisions. So we're Division 5 in the southeast. I cover quite a fair bit, majority of that. There's other contracts that get given bits and pieces.
Mm-hmm.
With trauma cleaning, there's sort of two stages of that. You've got the vehicle trauma cleaning, which is the actual police vehicles, which I've had the contract for now. So we cover about 10 stations in the southeast. That's going to be in excess of about 60 to 70 vehicles. So it's a large area. About half of those stations are probably about 24 hour stations.
Yeah.
So they would see a high number of traffic. So that's something that would start next month, which is a process for us, which we're very, very excited about.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the second contract, trauma cleaning, you have, there's a company that do that. They've had that for quite a number of years, and I've heard some very good things about them. They contract out, they do prison cell cleanings, they could be stabbings, they could be riots, fatalities, gang-related violence, attacks, things like that in their prison cells. And the prison cells themselves are specifically designed like hospitals, so they've got those sort of rounded corners, non-porous materials, lino, floor lining. So when you go in there, it's contained, you can sort of just neutralize it there and then. So there's a contract for that.
Mm-hmm.
As far as things like murders and sort of crimes of that serious nature, whether that's part of the same contract, I don't, I haven't looked that far into it. I'm sort of just touching base on this and seeing where that goes. And so far, obviously, going in a very forward direction. So maybe the next year or so, I might look into that. There's different areas of trauma cleaning. Obviously, you've got microbial remediation, biological remediation. You've got drug related as well, so like meth labs. Part of the people that did this course on the Zoom meeting is that there was a company in, I think it was Queensland, and they specialise in meth lab decontamination and disassembling them. So basically, the police will come in, take away everything, all the paraphernalia and what have you, and then you're left with some very nasty carcinogenic and dangerous chemicals, and you can't just take them and throw them in really big. You have to do the decontamination process, you have to break everything down, remediation and what have you. Very fascinating, so that's something I could do. There's sort of about three or four parts to my course. I could add more and more courses onto that. The lady that ran the course herself is from America. Like I said, because of COVID, they usually fly from the US to Melbourne to teach.
Mm-hmm.
So we did the online meeting. She's talking about her business. She started her business in 1993.
Wow.
She lost her house fire.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously trauma related, and that basically got her into trauma planning. So she worked with like local sheriff departments and what have you. Crime rate in the US is pretty high. Gun rate, crime, murders and suicides are pretty high. So she would go to fatalities and things like that, or MVAs, motor vehicle accidents, collisions, and sort of discuss her stories and how she would go through the process. So that's obviously fascinating stuff.
Yeah.
It's just the work involved. I would like to upskill moving down the track,
mm-hmm.
and to get more contract work, asking to see how this trauma planning goes. Like I said, we're off to a pretty good start. The feedback's been really positive, which is great.
Yeah.
And recovering, arguably, part of the largest area within the southeast of Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, we've worked hard on our reputation to get these contracts again, which is fantastic.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, that's basically it. So, yeah, with the vehicle cleaning, when somebody gets detained or arrested, the same percentage of the time, or the majority of people that get arrested are on drugs. So they're going to have hepatitis. They're going to have potential open wound injuries, so bleeding through medications or hurting themselves being detained. They do pretty much anything you can think of. They make a mess, they're going to vomit, they're going to urinate, they're going to defecate, anything they can do. And then obviously the vehicle basically gets locked out, tagged out, and they send somebody to come and clean it. 24-hour service, you clean, decontaminate, you wash it, clean out, dispose of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just use like a bleach or like a hospital grade spray or something like that, just to get all the impurities and what have you, and clean it, and like go on the way. It's pretty straightforward stuff. So I'm sort of interesting to see how that goes starting next month. Again, the financial year would be really good. So, a lot of people, most people ask me to think I'm crazy, and they say, well, if you call at 2 o'clock in the morning when someone's been arrested, been a mess in the back of a van or something.
Yeah.
I don't know, the police aren't going to do it.
Someone's got to do it.
Yeah, exactly. That's the 100%. Yeah, so that's where I come in. So, I'm sort of person that's like, go better with just sort of a good study and having these qualifications and what have you, but actually first-hand experience or jumping in the deep end kind of experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a bit of a sink or swimming scenario. So, I just go better in that environment. So hungry for the challenge, get straight in there basically. So amazing how many people have this sort of morbid fascination, I guess, about it. It's amazing how much of a talking point it actually is.
Yeah.
A lot of people just don't. This is not something you really bring up in a subject. You know, what do you do? I'm a crime scene technician.
Yeah.
Kind of Victorian police, these sort of things. So it is very exciting stuff.
Yeah, it's such a fascinating sort of area and a growing area, I think. What would you suggest to someone interested in trauma cleaning or crime scene cleaning? What would your wise words?
I think it's, I don't know, it's hard to say really, I guess. It depends where you want to go in life. If you're going to do trauma cleaning, crime scene cleaning, are you going to work for Victoria Police? Are you going to be a crime scene technician for them? Are you going to start your own business or be a contractor?
Yeah.
Depends where you want to go. You might start with the basics, get your qualification, and then try and get trauma cleaning contracts. That's probably where that's a good place to start.
Mm-hmm.
Private work is all well and good, but it is very difficult to sort of get into. It's not like you just advertise, I've got my certificate here, I'm a trauma cleaner, you're going to get hundreds of phone calls. It doesn't work that way. It's not. It's the US is a good example. Like it's a huge multi-million dollar industry over there. It's absolutely massive. It's much more common than over here. It's almost like a taboo subject. People don't want to talk about that. They don't want to know. It's unpleasant. It's distressing. But people just don't realize how relevant, how important that is. Someone has a job. There's everything happens in this world. There's someone there to clean up or to do the job or work behind the scenes.
Definitely.
So I guess my words of wisdom for someone who wanted to be interested in, go for it, basically study, get your accreditation. The TESA directive, this training organization, absolutely fantastic. Go to university, study criminology if that's what you want to do. And if you want to start your own business, people do it. It's a service that needs to be required. You might start from basic COVID cleaning. You might think, I want to go straight for a government contract. I found that sort of growing my business a little bit first, having just a little bit more experience, just a few sort of private, I guess, the private work, because it's not everybody. It might sound like it's an exciting thing to do. But when it comes down to it, it's a very, very dark and very serious thing. And I think all of like Hollywood and TVs and movies and TV shows and things, they portray it in a very different way. It's not like CSI, it's nothing like that.
With everything, not, yep.
Yeah, like a nice clean marble splash bag, beautiful white bath, and right on the floor, and you're in this nice pressed suit and one pair of gloves and a COVID mask. Yeah, I can tell you now, it's not.
Not like that.
Not even close. So I guess that's one thing to sort of look out for, but I encourage anyone out there, you know, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, basically. You know, it's as simple as that. Some people, when I started my business, people sort of laughed at me and sort of, you know, made a few jokes and comments, oh, you know, you can come and clean my car if you like, and I'll keep a good view, and just people that just, most people say things like that, just don't want you to succeed in life. You're going to get people that put you down. The thing you need to understand is that you're not doing these things, you're not starting your business or studying or what have you to impress other people. It's about bettering yourself. It's not about being better than others, mm-hmm. but bettering yourself. You're only in a competition with yourself. It doesn't matter if the next person got a higher mark or is better than you or their business is better. You're not doing it for them, you're doing it for yourself. So I really do encourage people listening to go for it. Do that course, study, do the thing that no one else is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone else is doing it, well, look at another way to not so much be better, but to stand out. Do the things that other people aren't doing. And that's the way I look at it. I look at my business and think, well, what can I offer that other people don't offer? You know, I sell the things that people don't want. That makes sense. You know, and it works great for me. It's fantastic. The best part for me is meeting clients I've met, that I've had since I've started my business, and saying to them, oh, I want to do this, I want to study, and you know, I have plans of doing this next year. Go back to them and say, oh, how did they go? So yeah, I did that course, I passed the course, I've got this now, I've got that. It's such a rewarding thing. I've spent all of my life saying, oh, I want to do this, I want to do that. I never really applying myself, and this is one of the biggest achievements, and everyone can see that it's grown into something so much bigger, different avenues. And to start a business, you know, during COVID, in lockdown, winter restrictions, not knowing what's going to happen from one day to the next.
Yeah, for sure.
Having two of the biggest contracts with Victoria Police in the southeast for a business that's been running for just under 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. I wake up some days, it's just, you know, it blows my mind. I wouldn't say I'm a genius or an open but I've had the support of friends and family, and you know, they'll get you so far. But you know, you've got to sort of get yourself across that, you know, open the door, that, you know, they have the door there, but you've got to walk through it and do all that sort of thing. And yeah, anyone wanting to do this sort of thing, I couldn't encourage it enough. I think it's a fantastic avenue. And there's so much to learn, and there's different avenues you can go through as well. It doesn't just have to be blood and guts. It can be the forensic side of things as well. You know, if you're in the lab or something, or people might still be probably cleaning or things like that. It just depends what you want to do. I like to go back to this training organization, do more training. You can get your triple master's degree. I like to get that. It would be fantastic to have in all three of those subjects, of like bioremediation and microbial remediation. I like the meth lab one as well.
Mm-hmm.
So the lady that runs the course has got to have master's, and that's something potentially that I'd like to do. Would definitely be probably the best qualification I've ever had. So that's basically it, really. It's, I guess, my little insight. You know, there's no one really around us in this area that specializes in that. There's a few people, but I don't think they're not as trained or as accredited, may not have as much experience, and certainly don't have these sort of these contracts or these contacts with the police as well. And you get sort of make friends and do like personal work as well. So I made friends with quite a few of the detectives as well, which is really good. Personal vehicles and things, and you just build these relationships. You can spend probably as much money as you've got trying to advertise a business, sell yourself, do all these sort of things. But it comes down to like your reputation, how you present yourself is paramount. That's something that I've experienced a lot of, you know, people talking about you, and you get to that point where you have to advertise your business so much and just watch your grown people come to you and loyalty and things. There's so much involved, it really is. I could go on, but I think I've covered everything. Sure.
No,
unless you have any other questions, yeah.
No, that was my last question. No, it's really been great to hear your journey and your perspective and your experiences.
Yeah.
No, I really appreciate you coming on, and had some great words of advice, and I just thank you very much for coming on.
You've been listening to the UON CRIM podcast, hosted by Jessica Horn, run by the University of Newcastle Criminology and Criminal Justice Society. I would like to thank today's guest, Chris Bray from Trauma Cleaning Services Australia, and to the podcast editor, Nick Mitch. Please stay tuned for our next episode released next month. You can stay up to date by following the UON CCJS on social media. And on a final note, this will be my last podcast episode as host, as I hand the reins over to Nick Mitch, who has been my right-hand man and a fabulous editor for this series. I want to say a massive thank you to all the listeners, and I hope you have enjoyed listening to the different guests and their experiences as much as I have enjoyed interviewing them. I have loved this opportunity to be the UON CRIM podcast third host, and I wish you all the best. See you around.